The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, in with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our special guest today is Chris Graniel for the second week in a row, co-owner of Pro Electric LLC out of Taylor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back in with us.
No problem.
We're here every Saturday, Sunday, discussing various real estate topics. Our Century 21 Quality Service Award-winning office has many experienced realtors. We have been listing, appraising, and selling real estate for over 40 years. During the week,
feel free to give us a call at 570-344-6724. Or if you want to ask us any questions, and we'll put it on the air, just send it to questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com.
Or suggest a topic by going to questions@jruddy.com. Also, view our listings, search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, where we also have all our archived radio shows and some neat realtor videos. And don't forget to friend us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Okay, Chris Graniel, co-owner of Pro Electric LLC. Last week, we spent a good portion of the show on older homes, older wiring, and older panel boxes, such as the Federal Pacific and things like that. How long have you been doing electrical contracting work, please?
Since 1985.
And you started your company...
About 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay, good. So you've been doing it a long time. You know your stuff. And this week, we thought we would talk about new construction and what's required now. What's code? Is there something, an arc circuit breaker?
Yeah, New York fault breakers.
Okay. What does that mean?
It'll detect like an arc. As in last week, we spoke about loose wires in an outlet. If you get a little arc in there, the breaker will trip. And they're required for all living areas, except for the kitchen, which will be GFI'd, a bathroom's garage. But for all the rest of the circuits, they have to be the arc faults.
And these breakers cost?
Anywhere from like $38 to $40-something dollars.
And compared to a regular breaker, which is?
About $6-$8.
$6-$8, okay.
Is there a choice in the matter?
For new construction, they're required.
Okay, so they have to do its code.
It's code, yes.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking about it when we did our house over about 5 or 6 years ago. It was only required in the bedroom outlets.
Yeah, that's the way it was. Nowadays, if we're replacing a service, we give the homeowner a choice. We ask them if they want them, but normally they don't
because
they hear the price and they're like, no.
We'll pass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But in 2008, that requirement went into effect, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So, you know, when houses have things going on, sometimes there's some telltale signs. Should a circuit breaker panel, should that be humming or making any kind of noise?
No, it shouldn't. Most of the time, it's, again, loose wires is a big problem with any kind of electric, because then it's going to heat up. Like I said, it's going to arc a little bit. It's going to heat up, and that's where you run into problems. If a breaker is humming or something, it's probably the wires loose. It's not clicked into the panel the right way, because we ran into some of those problems too. Breaker gets really hot. That's what it is. Normally, it's on like an air conditioner or something that has a big load on it, like an air conditioner circuit or hot water, dryer or oven. The wires aren't tight on the breaker, and it'll heat up.
How about an outlet? What if that gets hot? What does that usually mean?
If an outlet gets hot, it's the same thing. It's going to be a loose wire.
Loose wire, okay.
Yes, like sometimes if you have something you're plugging into a lot, plugging in and out, the inside the outlet will get loose. So sometimes you plug it in and the cord doesn't make good contact inside, then the cord gets hot. That's why a lot of people will say, oh, I pulled it out and it was hot, or the outlet's hot. That's normally what it is.
Okay, what's the green screw on outlets mean?
That's a ground screw. That's where the grounding wire goes to that.
Okay.
And we were talking about knob and tube last week. What do you do with the grounding screw if you don't have one? You just...
Well, you should...
call you and have it rewired done the right
that
way?
That is correct.
Okay. How do we
call somebody qualified to do it?
Well, not Uncle Jed. We were talking about Uncle Jed last week. He did some work.
How do we get in touch with you, Chris?
Our number is 570-963-7558.
One of the things we come across on home inspections, some terminology that's used, reverse polarity. What does that mean?
That means the hot and the neutral wire is opposite on the receptacle.
Will that damage electrical stuff? Does it, computers?
It could, especially on nowadays, everything has electronics in it, you know, computers and stuff like that. So it's...
It wasn't wired properly.
Yes.
Okay.
It just has to be... The
reversed.
Wires on the outlet has to be switched.
Okay. And not a big deal, usually.
No, it's take the outlet out, switch the wires,
okay,
put them back in.
What about double tapped? What does that mean? We hear about double tap breakers.
That means they just have two wires coming into the panel. The two hots are going onto the breaker, which is you're not supposed to do because the breaker only has a spot for one wire. You're not allowed to put two wires under there. The squared E panels have a spot for two wires, but normally you shouldn't. Depending on what it is. Me personally, I don't see anything wrong with it because it's still going to, you're still protecting. It's only a 15 amp breaker. It's still only going to draw 15 amps before the breaker would trip.
Okay, because I see that. That's common, double tap breakers. I mean, almost on every report I get back is a double tap breaker somewhere.
Yeah, because a lot of times in an older home, they have small panels. They keep adding circuits on, and they don't make space, so they just thrown under another breaker.
You know, oftentimes I'll go into a house and they'll have a new breaker panel and they'll have five switches in it. And like the rest of it, it looks like there could be room for more switches. Just because those switch plates are there, does that mean you can add that many switches?
Yeah, the breakers. You could add a lot more breakers in there. Normal size, like if we do a new home, it's usually like a 40 or 42 circuit panel,
right,
200 amp.
Right.
And then that's sufficient enough for your average size home.
Okay. New construction, I often see a large panel box on one side of the house, usually the 200 amp panel box, okay? And then I'll go to the other side or up to the
second floor. Up to the second floor, usually where it is, right?
Is a sub panel. What's going on there? Why do we need so many boxes?
And then maybe one in the garage?
And maybe one in the garage too, right?
You don't need it. A lot of times it's just for convenience. Instead of running everything back from, especially on larger homes, everything running back to one spot, like if it's in the garage or in the basement and you're running a lot of circuits, especially like where a kitchen is.
Mm-hmm.
If the kitchen's not near where the panel is, you run a sub panel over to somewhere around in that general vicinity, because a lot of times you're going to need about, you know, 8 to 10 circuits just for kitchen.
Right.
So I won't have to run all those wires back to the main panel. I can just run one wire to a sub panel and
yes,
cut down and be a lot less.
So yeah, it's for convenient purposes.
Yeah, convenience.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here with us today is Chris Granielle, co-owner of Pro Electric LLC out of Taylor. We're talking about everything electrical. Okay, so that's what that means, convenience.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what if you have, a house and you want to build on a workshop, a garage, anything outside in a separate structure, and you want electrical, it to be, you know, have lights and electrical outlets, and you want to run electrical wiring there, what do you do? How do you do this? Do you run it off the house?
Yeah, most of the times it's run off the house. I mean, very rarely will they put another separate service on, because then you have to put another meter in, and a lot of times the power company doesn't like to do that, have two separate meters on one property,
mm-hmm,
especially if it's just a residential property. Normally we run underground,
okay,
to the garage and do what we have to do from there.
Okay, so that's an extensive job there. What does overloading mean? We talked about double tapped and we talked about reverse polarity in the outlets. What does overloading mean? I see that come back on inspections too.
If it's overloaded, then the breaker would trip. That's why we have the breakers. For overloading, if they have too many circuits, or especially in a kitchen, older kitchens, they only have like one or maybe one circuit on the counter. And then nowadays they have, you know, coffee pot, toaster, microwave, and everything like that. The breaker will trip if you put on your toaster and your microwave at the same time. That's why nowadays they want two circuits minimum ran to the kitchen counters.
Two for the kitchen counters.
Yeah, two 20-amp circuits for the kitchen counters.
Do you need a separate one for the refrigerator?
You should have one separate for the refrigerator, uh-huh. one for the microwave. That's what I said, in the kitchen there's, you're going to get into at least 8-10 circuits.
So just remodeling the kitchen is more than just putting a granite countertop down?
Yeah.
Do you have any money-saving tips? What do you suggest to homeowners that have house and high electrical bills? Are there ways to save money through light bulbs, through certain appliances, products? What do you...
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people... Well, the compact fluorescent bulbs they put in to replace the regular incandescent bulbs,
mm-hmm.
they save a lot of money. The only downfall with them is a lot of times you can't dim them.
Right.
They have special bulbs you could dim, but they cost a lot of money.
And then you're not saving anything on the electric because you just spent $25 on a bulb.
Yeah, the amount you're going to spend on a bulb, but I guess it saves a little bit. And also...
They take a lot longer to go on, too, which can be annoying.
Yeah, especially if you have them in a basement, and like an unfinished basement where it's cool. If they're cold, they take a little bit to come on.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people, they put timers on their water heaters, too.
Mm-hmm.
So like in the middle of the night, the water heater is not going to come on to keep the water warm. From, 11 o'clock at night till
that's a great idea. Yeah, that's money saving. Yeah,
I never even thought of that.
That is an excellent. Write that down.
Yeah, we have a gas hot water heater.
Then forget about that. All right. Oh well. How about how a lot of people sometimes do lights on timers, and is there a more intricate way or an easier way to do it, which, there's probably things like timers that you have to go and run wires in the basement, but are there switches that are made that can be timed?
Yeah, they have timers that go in where a switch box is, or the motion. They have motion detectors.
Right,
like
motion.
For like a bathroom, a hallway, where somebody would come in and forget to turn the lights off. So as soon as you walk in, the light comes on for... And when you leave, it goes off in whatever, 15, 20 seconds after you leave. Or a hallway, so that way you don't forget to leave the lights. You forget to leave the lights on, But that saves a lot of money, too, because we put them in a lot for people.
Inside, yeah, because you often see the motion detectors on the outside, like in the back where there's a garage or on the side of the house. But inside the house.
Inside the house.
Excellent idea.
Yeah.
All right, and that could save money.
Yeah, motion detectors on the outside, they work pretty well, but you got to watch out for where you put them.
Animals,
trees, the wind blowing.
Right.
And they give you directions with them, but if you want them to keep them on, usually to run a switch too, you got to flick the switch on, off. But a lot of times people mess with them, or they turn them on and off by accident and they don't come on, and they end up being a hassle sometimes.
Yeah. Yes, we have one on the outside of the house. We have a piece of tape over the switch so nobody flips it on and off and it's on 24 hours.
Yeah, that's what you got to watch. Once you start playing with it, then it's a pain.
It's that time. Pat, would you like to review a listing?
Yes, we have a two-bedroom, one-bath ranch located at 3259 Greenwood Avenue in Scranton for only $98,500. It is in move-in condition. This very well-maintained home has central air, tile floor in the kitchen, swirled ceilings in the bedrooms, all on a nice level lot. This is perfect for someone looking to downsize or for a first home. It has a bead dry system in the basement, replacement windows, a mudroom with sink, vinyl siding, and parking in the rear. It also has low taxes of only $1,900 on a nice size lot of 50 by 135. So give us a call about 3259 Greenwood Avenue in Scranton, a two-bedroom, one-bath ranch with central air for only $98,500.
Stay with us on the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We will be back after a very brief break on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting, too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ready from Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker in with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And with our special guest, Chris Graniel, co-owner of Pro Electric out of Taylor, PA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How do we get in touch with you?
Our number is 570-963-7558.
You've been doing electrical contracting work since 1985, and you've been co-owner of Pro Electric out of Taylor for about 5-6 years now, correct?
That is correct.
All right. You do residential and commercial.
That is correct.
Before the break, we talked about all these different terms, overloaded, double tapped, reverse polarity, things like that, when a circuit breaker gets hot, when a circuit panel hums, and all that usually is indicative, those two items, the hot outlet or the hot circuit breaker or the humming of the panel, usually has to do with some sort of loose wire.
Yeah, that's correct. Most of the time it's just a loose wire or loose breaker isn't into the panel correctly. And that's a big problem. It may seem like, oh, it's just a loose wire, but a lot of times that could start a fire.
What happens if, you know, someone touches an appliance or someone like our producer's taking a shower, touch the shower head, they get shocked or they feel some sort of vibration? What does that usually mean?
Usually it's a grounding issue, like the water pipe isn't grounded correctly, because that'll take care of any stray voltage going through anywhere, you know. That's why they have them in there, so you don't get that feeling. For appliances, though, could be something wrong with the appliance itself also, which could be a problem, you know. Most of the time, it's a grounding issue. The ground is missing, something like that.
Okay. All right. Now, oftentimes, people like to save money, and I'm no exception. So they go to flea markets, dollar stores, that sort of thing, and they pick up electrical cords, night lights, power cord,
those little brown extension cords.
Those extension
little
cords.
Oh,
yeah.
6 foot is the trouble.
Is that the place to skimp?
Not really. If you're just going to plug in a lamp, they're fine. But if you're going to use it to plug in an air conditioner or run an electric heater across the room, you should get an appliance. They sell them at Lowe's, Home Depot, anywhere. An appliance cord. It's a 12-gauge cord. Just the size. That's the size of the wire that's running through the walls.
Mm-hmm.
It was running a lot of problems with that. People run them under the carpets. I've seen them drill holes in the floor and go up.
Oh, my.
To plug something in upstairs or in the basement. And I've seen them burn up because they're only usually like a 16-gauge, which only would run probably 10 amps, 8 amps, something like that. And they run a 20-amp heater off it. It's going to heat up. It's going to burn. And again, it's a fire hazard.
Safety hazard, yes.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Okay, so don't do that. Don't go to these 99-cent stores and skimp and try to save a buck.
Yeah, especially with the holidays coming up and plugging in, you know, everybody's plugging in, you know, all their lawn equipment and inside 6 million lights on their trees. And
you shouldn't have like 10 strings of lights on one little crummy extension cord. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, with a bunch of splitters on it and split again and split again.
And then I pick it up and it's hot. I have to drop it. That's bad.
Yeah. That'd be considered bad.
Yeah. It's not a good sign.
No, not a good sign.
Okay. All right.
It's not the trains that are smoking under the tree, right?
Okay. What about, do you have any suggestions, recommendations for people that are under construction, whether it's a new home, remodeling, things that they should think about doing if they have walls open and, you know, some time savers or money savers? What do you see happening out there that people often overlook?
Yeah, just when you're doing a house, you put in enough outlets, enough receptacles around, you know, because it's a lot easier to put them in when you're doing it than trying to snake them, or you won't be able to get them.
What's code? Every 6 feet?
Actually, it's 12 feet. It's 6 feet from each outlet, so it ends up being 12 feet.
Okay.
Also, make sure you put enough outlets outside. Or what we do a lot is we put outlets up in the eaves, like for their Christmas lights, and put them on a switch inside. So that way, when they go to plug in their Christmas lights, they put them around their house. You put an outlet on a couple sides of the house and have them on a switch. So that way, you don't have to go out there and plug them in, run extension cords down your house, around, everywhere. Which is, it ends up, it's a very convenient to do it that way.
That's what we did in our house. All of the Christmas lights, all of the outlets on the outside of the porch are on the switch for the light that is on the lawn. So, and the only time I use those, I mean, the ones on the house are always on, but the ones on the outside of the porch for the Christmas lights. And we have a lot of Christmas lights, so it's much more convenient than...
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Running out in the rain or whatever we have to do.
What do you often come across in your line of work, whether it's residential or commercial, that you wish maybe wasn't the case? Is a common problem, people miss a mistake that's often made. What do you find yourself correcting a lot of?
Kitchens, a lot of times. They don't have enough circuits in their kitchens. A lot of times, a little bit older houses, a lot of times they don't run enough circuits to the kitchen, which is a big problem because then they have their refrigerator on. And also is, again, having a qualified person do your electric work. You know, if you wanted to add something, or, you know, you're doing a little addition, a bathroom, or anything really. Because I run into that a lot of times where, you know, somebody knows a little electric and they try doing stuff and it actually doesn't work out the way they want it. So they always, and they end up calling us or calling somebody that's an electrician, not just does it part-time. Electric work isn't for a handyman. It should be somebody that knows what they're doing.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. And here with us today, talking electrical, is Chris Graniel with Pro Electric, co-owner of Pro Electric out of Taylor. And Chris, how do we get in touch with you, please?
Our number is 570-963-7558.
How do you wire a double-boarded house? Now, double boarded was used to as a type of construction. It's, you know, wall against wall, and there's no opening, there's no frame.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Very carefully?
Very carefully. A lot of times they use, if you wanted to add stuff, it's usually you got to run wire mold around, which I don't like to use, but
no, because it goes on usually on the base of the baseboard of the room, and you usually see the wire and then the big fat outlet jutting out and then the wire again. It's,
yeah, that's really your only option on that kind of style house, to double board it,
because you don't have the balloon style construction where you can fish the wire from floor to floor.
Can't do anything. It's a pain. I don't like doing that.
Okay. But it's a necessity because there were homes, and there's still a lot out there that are double boarded.
Oh, yeah.
And so when they want more power and they need outlets in a room, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah, I used a wire mold. Doesn't look the nicest, but...
If it's your only option, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
We can often tell when we go into homes, too, when the homeowner or somebody close to the homeowner or a friend or someone other than... someone like yourself, a professional, did the wiring, because a lot of times we'll look at the box and it just looks like spaghetti's going into the box. So just like, what do you say, Pat?
A rat's nest.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
It's a rat's nest, yeah.
There's a proper way to do this, correct? It should be all either...
The wires should be labeled and maybe stapled and going straight instead of like a spool hanging down to the floor. Maybe not, no?
Yeah, it should be all stapled up and... neatly done. You know, it's, I don't think it's a real hazard, but I like everything when we do something, it should be neat. So, you know, you don't have, if you have to do something later on, it's, you could see where all the wires going, make sure they're going into connectors, they have connectors going into the panel boxes, and, you know, stapled up neatly. That's the way it should be done.
But it doesn't have to be, is what I'm hearing.
Well, it
If you did it, it has to. But if yes. someone else, okay.
I mean, it's not a hazard, but you should. Every it says in the it should be done in a neat,
okay,
neat fashion.
Well, I can only imagine. It would only be a future nightmare for someone trying to figure things out. And I would think that that's the way it should
be. Yeah, some of these houses, you got 60, 70 years of splices. Like we talked about Uncle Jed last week. You know, he came in and did some of the electrical work. And it's nightmarish. I've seen some of the stuff, some of the homes we go into.
Yeah, because one person does it, then somebody else comes in, does something different. Somebody else comes in, does it again. It ends up being a nightmare
yes.
for somebody like Nita has to come in and try to figure out or change the service or add circuits even. Ends up being a pain.
It adds more time to your job, which...
Oh, definitely.
Which would add more expense to the property owner because they have to pay for you there figuring things out. So.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. To be safe, should I have my whole electrical system checked out and how often?
It doesn't have to be like every...
6 months or
every
year.
6 months. Your service is what somebody should look at and make sure. If it's a newer service, there's really not too much to look at. If it's an older, a lot of times the wire outside where it comes into the meter or goes from the meter into the panel box will get frayed or damaged at some point like that. Or a lot of times we run into problems where there's water gets into the panel, which it'll get into the meter a little bit or travel down the wire if it's not caulked well where it comes into the house, and it'll get some drips in there. The breakers will get moist and rusty. But for the most part, if it's a newer home, there's really not much to look at. You could test it if you have GFI or arc fault breakers. There's a test button on them. Test them monthly. And the... GFI receptacles in your kitchen and bathrooms and outside. Test them monthly just to make sure everything's working properly.
Okay.
So after the show, go and test all your GFIs on the counter, run around pushing all the buttons and make sure they work.
Are there testers that we can buy as property owners? Maybe they're not as sophisticated as the equipment you use, but are there testers out there that one could purchase?
Yeah. If you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, any store they have, it's a plug-in tester. And a lot of times they have a little button on the top of them to test your GFI receptacles okay. in the bathroom. You plug it in and it'll tell you if there's missing a ground, a neutral, if the reverse polarity, the hot and the neutral are switched. And you can press the button to see if the GFI works.
Okay.
And they don't cost much. They're probably like $10 at the most.
And then if we discover a problem, we call you.
That is correct.
Okay. At what number?
At 570-963-7558.
Thank you for 2 weeks in a row. Great discussion. Chris Grignot, co-owner, Pro Electric, LLC. Thanks again, Chris, for being with us.
Thanks for having me in.
Okay. Pat, before we close?
Okay. In Dunmore, we have a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath home tucked away at 1321 McKenna Court. This beautiful home has hardwood floors, tile bathroom floors, and a very nice finished basement. It has great room sizes and over 2,000 square feet of living space. It has plenty of parking, concrete driveway, and a built-in one-car garage. It has very reasonable taxes of only $2,200, and it is close to the Dunmore Community Center and Monroe Park. So if you're looking for a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath home on a quiet street, give us a call about 1321 McKenna Court in Dunmore for $149,000, and that is listed by Frank Brown of our office.
And before we close, my tip today is motion sensor light controls. Add light when you need it. They come in a variety of styles and simple technologies. Chris even mentioned them on this show. There are plug-in sensors. You simply stick them into existing receptacles. Then you plug your table or floor lamps into them. When the sensor detects motion, it turns the light on. They're great for 2 a.m. snacking, or if your young kids are at that age when they migrate into your bed in the middle of the night. The lights turn off after about 10 minutes if no motion is detected. We have to say goodbye. Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker, during the week.
Feel free to email us any questions at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or give us a call at 570 570- 844-6724.
And remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.